We so much appreciate you being here, and we appreciate all the efforts. This month on KNKT, we are celebrating our police department, and we know that you are all faced with, I will have to say, kind of a dangerous situation, and you want to do the right thing for the public. We're here to talk about today all the positive things that you're doing to help our community. So, Jerry, let's start with you.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me here. We really appreciate you celebrating the police department this month. And we want to talk about some of the new ways that the police department is looking at partnering with the community. And the Violence Intervention Program is a joint community law enforcement effort to end the cycles of gun violence in Albuquerque that destabilize our neighborhoods, that create fear for our citizens, and take the lives of many of our young people. And the VIP program, that we call it for short, operates under a set of guiding principles to strengthen communities' capacity to prevent violence, to offer help to those who want it, to deter violent gun crime, and to use enforcement very strategically to stop the gun crime. In Albuquerque, our violence intervention program's focus will be targeted to a small but very high-risk population, which drives the violent gun crime here. The drivers of all of the gun violence in Albuquerque have been determined through data to be less than 0.01% of Albuquerque's population. So it is a very small group of folks that do the most heinous gun crimes in the city.
So, Jerry, I'm surprised that you said that, because I think a lot of people have a perception, not just about Albuquerque, but the country in general, that this is just a gun-toting society and everybody's pulling out their gun whenever they want. But you're saying it's a very small number of people that are actually creating the problems.
Right. They have found that through over 20 cities in the country have been trying to work this particular model in their neighborhoods. And they have done the research, and the research in almost every city shows that it's less than 1% or 0.01%
of
their population.
Great segue to my next question, which was to say, is this concept being tried around the country successfully?
Yes, and it has been for many years. So this is a proven model, and it has lowered gun crime in cities like, it started in Boston, but Chicago, in certain neighborhoods, it has been implemented really well. Oakland, Stockton, California, New Haven, Connecticut. The list kind of goes on and on, but there's one in Indianapolis. So there's many, many cities that have used this model. And what's really nice about the model is that you can take the model and you can make it yours. So in New Mexico, we'll add the red and green chili, and we'll make it ours. And it depends on the communities. The communities are really unique in each of those cities. They're totally different from one another. And so the model allows for each community to come up with their own strategies, and then the police department will support and enhance and encourage those strategies as we move into this work.
Jerry, one of the things I appreciate about APD's approach to this is that your group has been very transparent about your plans and how you're going to go forward. Nice video available. You sent me a copy of. It's really showing that, hey, you even want community input, it sounds like, about various things that you're doing and get feedback constantly. Tell us about your role, because this is a big role. You're coordinating even the four individuals we have today in the studio. Sounds like a big job.
Right. So yeah, the role is very large. It's to implement the program. And the role includes both community and the police department. And some of the goals that we intend to move forward with actually is enhancing the community and the police department's relationships. And so we're going to start with transparency. We're going to start with sharing data. We're going to start with sharing information about the shootings that are happening in respective neighborhoods. and make sure that everybody has a real clear idea of what's happening in their neighborhood so that then they can start to think about the strategies that they can bring up in their communities to reduce gun violence on their end, as well as law enforcement will be very clear about the strategies that we're using to reduce gun violence on that end.
We are in studio this afternoon with Jerry Bachicha. She's the Violence Intervention Program Manager for the Albuquerque Police Department, and Angel Garcia. He runs the Violence Intervention Program Social Services. Tanya Covington is with the Rapid Accountability Division, and Commander Luke Langwit is in charge of the Violent Crimes Reduction Division. Commander Luke, and I kind of like that because it has a ring to it. You're like a movie star.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to have this opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Well, I know that you have an extensive background. You've been a detective. You've been on the street. You're dressed in your handsome uniform today. And I want you to know that's why we call this Back the Blue. We want to back the blue. We want to be behind you. We want you to know, number one, as a faith community, that we're praying for you. We're praying, and I don't know how you feel about such things personally, but you need to know the Christians that listen to this radio station and churches all over this city are praying for the police department just constantly. We want only the best, and we know that you're putting your lives on the line for us. Tell us a little bit about the Violent Crimes Reduction Division and what you do.
Right. So recently, we in the department have reorganized. So right now I am the commander of the Criminal Enforcement Division. Because the Violent Crimes Reduction Division, we decided to, all of the detectives and officers assigned to me, looking at their duties and what the crimes that they enforce, we had taken that division and also the Investigative Services Division, and we put these two divisions as the lead under the Violence Intervention Program. Now, this is a department-wide effort. Every area command and division and the department will have a role in the VIP program and what we want to accomplish. But the two investigative divisions have really been looked at as being the leads because, again, they have involvements with shooting with injury investigations and then also felony assaults and batteries. But, again, the both divisions, I mean, they play a key role in the violence intervention program. And a lot of it that we've have learned is really just sharing information, getting all the public safety partners at the table so that we're not working in silos, and then also working, as Jerry had said, working with the community and getting their input as well.
Commander, I need to ask you, without being able to really use the official law enforcement vernacular, but you're going out and talking to bad guys.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes. It's been very successful. So to date, we've done about 24 of these individual interventions, which we refer to as custom notifications. And again, hearing you speaking with Jerry about transparency, the idea is not to hide anything or scare tactics. Instead, it's like, let's just educate. Let's tell them exactly what is going to happen and what concerns that we have. So to provide a little context for that, our fundamental responsibility as law enforcement is to advocate for the victims and to enforce laws. So when we are working a homicide investigation or a shooting with injury, our investigators and detectives are going to give 110% to make sure that it's a successful prosecution to hold those individuals accountable for the crimes that they commit. So enforcement will never go away. We are law enforcement, and that is a fundamental responsibility that we have to accomplish, whether if it's enforcement for violent criminals or if it's for property crimes. We will always be committed to that. But what we've recognized is nationwide and specifically in Albuquerque too, is if we can do more. So we're going to continue to do 110% with enforcement for the individuals. And as Jerry said, it's a very small, very, very small percent of our population. But what I found in my experience is that there is a larger number of individuals that they are showing signs or flags, or they've involved in incidents where when we look at and we review and analyze the incidents, it's crossed our minds where we can say, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 weeks this individual's involved in a shooting. So that's why we want to be proactive about not just focusing all of our efforts on the reactive part and working the investigation and holding these 0.001% accountable, but reaching those that have demonstrated that propensity for violence to where they could be a future shooter, and we want to reach out to them. And again, to your original question, is we're gonna be completely open with them. So we will go out and meet them where they are at and tell them, hey, these are our concerns, and this is the message that we want to give to you. And I can get into that message.
Yeah, while you're talking about this, I'm thinking that there are people that are citizens of Albuquerque, for example.
Yes, sir.
That you have data that may show they may be involved in some type of gun violence. So I can see talking to those citizens. How many people are coming from outside of Albuquerque that may be causing problems here?
I don't have specific numbers, but I did talk to an individual. I talked to her a couple weeks ago, and she hasn't been in Albuquerque more than a year. She's been here less than a year. She's originally from California, and again, she doesn't have any history here. She doesn't have any ties here. But again, she was involved in a gun incident. So it's situations like that where we really have to spend the time to look at all the contributing factors, the underlying root causes, and look at all the individuals involved. And then we can come up with a strategic plan, but not just with the public safety partners, but also the community, the moral support and voice from the community. So these individual interventions that I'm talking about, we refer to them as custom notifications, and they do have three components to it. The first is that community moral voice, where it's a simple, clear message that it doesn't matter what type of activity that they're involved in, they are part of this community, and they are someone's family member. They're a son, a daughter, a father, a mother, and as a community, we want them to know that we don't want to see them killed, hurt, or incarcerated. You know, we want to see them to be able to contribute to our society. So that's the first component, is that community moral message. The second is the law enforcement component, where it's not a scare tactic or a threat, but it's just education on, based on you as a person and the past that you may have documented, these are the penalties that you will face if you are charged with a gun crime, whether if it's federal penalties or on our state side. This is what you're facing, and this is the time that you could be serving. And then that last component is the outreach, is the social services, to where when we look at the underlying root causes and what's driving these incidents, whether if it's addiction, you know, we've had a number of shootings that's happened because of drug addiction, or if it's anger, you know, where it's just where individuals they get into a confrontation and it results in gun violence. Really pushing that outreach where we as a city, One Albuquerque, we have resources within the city. We work with businesses. We work with faith-based organizations and nonprofits to where we're pooling all these resources. And that's where Angel Garcia has done a fantastic job as far as really connecting these individuals that we're speaking with these resources.
I want to go back to Jerry now, remind our listeners that we have Jerry Bachichas. She's the Violence Intervention Program Manager in studio today, along with Angel Garcia. He handles the Violence Intervention Program Social Services Coordination. Tanya Covington, she is with the Rapid Accountability Division, and Commander Luke Langwit. You just heard him talking about how they actually intervene. And what are those interventions called again when you actually go speak to somebody that you suspect may be involved?
We refer to them as a custom notification.
A custom notification. But you're very diplomatic. You're very gracious in the way you're approaching this. And the component that I'm really fascinated with is that you are offering some services to help them before there's a problem.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes, sir.
Really neat. Jerry, coordinating all of this has to be a big job. Tell us how the faith community can partner with you and help with the violence intervention program.
Well, it is a big job, And so we need all hands on deck. We need the whole community to rally around this issue, this challenge, and also to reach out to the folks like we're reaching out to the folks. If the police department feels it needs to reach out to these folks, then I think that there's other parts of our community that should also join hands with us and do so as well. So we're reaching out to the faith community in Albuquerque. They have this unique ability to turn pain into progress. And when we're thinking about the potential shooters of tomorrow, we want to intervene in that. And a lot of the reasons that they do the shootings and that they participate in gun violence has a lot to do with trauma and pain that they've experienced in their prior lives. So when we think about the faith communities, we think about their unique ability to reach through that pain and give people hope. And so we're asking the faith community to create dialogue and conversations about violence. If there are people in their faith community that are struggling, then by all means, reach out to them. And also realize that beyond the boundaries of the church, where that protective factor of being in the church community falls off, that there are people on the streets that we've failed as a city, as a community, that they've gotten lost. And, you know, if the church community could start reaching out beyond their boundaries, which I know just so many churches do that already, but with the intention in mind of reducing gun violence as well, then we'd love to talk about how they feel that could happen, how they feel that the different church communities in Albuquerque feel that they can contribute to becoming the moral voice of the community and helping folks to prevent the shooter of the future.
I'm in studio this afternoon with Jerry Bachicha, the Violence Intervention Program Manager, along with three of her team members, Angel Garcia, Violence Intervention Program Social Services Coordinator, Tanya Covington with the Rapid Accountability Division, and Commander Luke Langwit. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us.
Tired of being quarantined? Have the pandemic blues got you down? Having a food choice crisis? Let's talk about a solution. In queso emergency, head straight for Casa Taco, winner of Albuquerque the Magazine Best of the City 3 years running. Come try the signature brisket and green chili tacos, carne asada tacos, and the amazing puffy tacos, plus much more. Convenient online ordering at casa-taco.com. Two locations in Albuquerque and one in Elephant Butte. Casa Taco.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling, a portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jerry Bachicha, Angel Garcia, Tanya Covington, and Commander Luke Langwit. They're all part of the Violence Intervention Program. It's a new program with the Albuquerque Police Department. Jerry, we were just speaking a little bit off air about this is really comprehensive. You're trying to meet a lot of needs of a lot of people. And I'm wondering about normal citizens, regular citizens. Do we need training to help prevent crime occurring and being the victims of crime ourselves?
Yes. So all the citizens in Albuquerque should think about their safety. And when you do that, there are people to turn to get kind of more information about how that can happen. And in the Albuquerque Police Department, for instance, there's crime prevention specialist, which maybe Luke can talk a little bit more about.
Yes. For all categories of crime, again, one of the, I know this is a little bit not completely related to the gun violence, but one of our pillars in the Albuquerque Police Department is community policing, really meeting with and getting to know the businesses and residences in our community. So I urge every, like you said, just everyday citizen to take part in that, whether if it's during their home life or their work life. We want to establish good block watches and neighborhood associations and establish a good relationship with the neighborhood associations and block watches. And then businesses too. I know a lot of businesses, in the same area, they'll have coalitions, but we want to be able to have our officers, and detectives to be able to have good relationships. So if there are questions about, and I know you refer to it as training, but if there are just questions or tips or training or anything that they should be doing or they shouldn't be doing, these officers, they are trained and they know what resources are available and that they can also help facilitate and get them hooked up to. Like Jerry said, the crime prevention specialists, they do so many different things. One of the great things is the crime prevention through environmental design. They will go out to a residence or a business and they'll do an assessment. And in that assessment, they'll take all of the factors, whether if it's lighting, where your bushes are at, where the vulnerabilities are for that specific property. And they'll make that assessment for that homeowner or that business owner, and then they'll give them good literature on ways to protect themselves. So that right there has been very successful. But again, it just comes down to communication and us having good relationships.
Luke, how long have you been a police officer?
For 14 years.
For 14 years. I know you're not a recruiter, but you're pretty proud of your job. You're excited about what you do. Seems like you have a calling on your life to help protect people. How can you recommend it as a career?
Of course, you know, any type of service, whether if it's being a teacher, being a nurse, being a first responder, the work that Jerry did before she was here as our program manager, she worked with juveniles for a number of years. I definitely would recommend it if you feel you have that passion within you to really help people and to connect with people. It's a great career.
Jerry, you are a civilian manager in the Albuquerque Police Department, but I'm going to ask you a question that I think the faith community should understand, but I don't think they do. Do we really understand as a public that the police department and police officers on the street, our first responders, are actually confronting evil on the streets? Do we understand that?
Well, I think that the way that the police department has been formed and will continue to work is to protect and serve. And so in whatever form that takes, that they are out there and they are working really hard to protect and serve the public. And when you look at the police department today, a lot of different responsibilities have been added onto it. And so there are chronic health issues, substance abuse issues, and mental health issues that the police are handling. And that's not evil. That's health issues. And though officers are somewhat trained in the crisis intervention for that, they really need other folks to step in and help with those particular situations. So we have to kind of, and the department's gone quite a bit a different way by bringing in other programs such as the LEAD program, which, you know, when an officer goes out and intervenes with someone who is chronically mentally ill or substance abuse, LEAD is for substance abuse, they can refer that person immediately to a substance abuse provision agency, and they can get help from that particular agency immediately and get that person into treatment. Our jails are full of people who need substance abuse treatment. That is a chronic disease. It's not a moral failing. And so that is some of the things, some of the programs that you've seen start to come up with the Albuquerque Police Department, and you can get on our website. We'll show you that there are many ways in which the police officers are kind of taking that kind of thing that isn't their expertise off their shoulders and giving it back to the community so that then they can confront the gun violence that we're facing and do a better job at targeting that.
We are talking this afternoon with Jerry Bachicha. She is the Violence Intervention Program Manager, and her whole team, Angel Garcia, Tanya Covington, and Commander Luke Langwit, will be back with more right after these messages.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses, who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge, Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're back in studio with Jerry Bachicha, Angel Garcia, Tanya Covington, and Commander Luke Langwit. They are all with the Violence Intervention Program, new program with the Albuquerque Police Department. Jerry, I'd love for you to talk to us about your team a little bit.
Oh, we have a really great team. Of course, you've already heard from Commander Langwit, who is a longtime member of the police department and very articulate about our program. He's seen what works and what doesn't work, and he's ready to take us forward into new territory. So I really appreciate Commander Langwit and his passion for the violence intervention program and his passion for reducing gun violence in Albuquerque. And we also have Angel Garcia. Angel Garcia is originally from California, originally from a part of Los Angeles gangs, and he's changed his life. And then we also have Tanya Covington, who is a longtime recognized by the city, the state, and nationally, and even has done some international work in mediation. And so she's basically connected people who have conflict with each other and tried to work through that conflict. And so it's special people like this that I work with. People, again, who reached through the pain, who reached through kind of judgment and take things on more pragmatically and through their own experiences. Mm-hmm. So what a wonderful team to start this work with.
Well, earlier in our interview, I used the word evil. And I know you feel like your job is to really just protect everybody and take care of everybody. And so it's what I like is your perspective that everybody can be redeemed. Everybody can be, you know, if they choose, they have to make that own choice. But Commander Luke, you used a story, and I wanted you to share that on air with everybody about the perceptions that people might have about maybe a criminal who's harming a child.
Right, right. And again, like I was telling you off air, I don't know if it's semantics or just the word. And I really don't want to put any label on an individual group of people, so I'll just use the term evil. Do police officers, do we see evil? Do we face evil? Absolutely we do. But when we face that evil, what we do is we're going to ensure that we're professional. We're going to ensure that we are, we're going to hold everyone the same as far as within the law and our training and policies. They are not going to be treated differently with whatever situation that we're facing. So like the example that I gave you, as a patrol officer responding to a situation where an individual is harming a child right in front of me, I would consider, and this is just me personally, I would consider that evil. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to insert my own judgments, and that's not going to affect how I carry out my responsibilities as a law enforcement officer. They're going to be treated just like a citizen that I'm talking with during a community engagement encounter. I'm going to ensure that based on the facts and factors of the incident investigation, it's going to go the same way that it would go for anyone else. And the last thing I would add to that, though, with evil, though, it's unfortunate that there is evil that that this evil just does not choose to change their lifestyle, and unfortunately, incarceration may be the only avenue for them. I'd like to think it's a very, very, very small, especially in Albuquerque, majority of our population, but. And I think you would agree with this as being part of the church, though. Even though an evil act is committed, I would hope with the right support from the community, whether the legal consequences that they had to experience, that there's always redemption, you know? So that label doesn't have to stick to that person. And then they can move forward.
Well, and Jerry said earlier, one of your own team is a convicted felon, and now he's coordinating all your social services. Tell us a little bit about Angel, Jerry.
Well, Angel is an amazing person, and he made, and I'd really like for Angel to tell kind of his own story, but the difference he's made for our program is like night and day. So we were doing some of those personalized interventions, custom notifications prior to him coming. And, you know, they went very well. But when he came and he started doing them, they went exceedingly well. And people started calling back a lot more. And we were able to actually make some headway with folks because they saw somebody in front of them that looks like them, that talks like them, that understands them. And so the way that he uses his experience to heal is healing our community. And healing, redemption. That's what this is all about. That's what justice is all about. It's not just putting people away forever. We've learned as a country over the years that that doesn't always work. You know, if it did, we'd all be out of a job because we could just jail everybody. There's so much more to it. And there's so much joy to watching folks turn their lives around because they're finally given hope and they're finally given resources and they're finally given a peer group that they can look at and say, okay, these guys did it. I can do it too. So I think Angel embodies all of that. And I'd love to hear more of how he feels about that.
Well, we're going to have a chance to talk more with Jerry Bachicha, Angel Garcia, Tanya Covington, and Commander Luke Langwit. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Working in local law enforcement can be a thankless task, dealing with the best and worst of our community. Whether it's being on patrol, responding to emergency and non-emergency calls, solving crimes, traffic control, and so much more. Considering the current landscape, we're taking the month of September to encourage and support those serving in local law enforcement. We hope you'll do the same. What does it mean to you? Share a smile, a wave, an act of kindness, or a simple thank you. What does it mean to them?
It's so important to know that the faith community is backing the police department. That is so important to us.
It makes me feel great. It makes me feel really good, and I'm proud. It gives me a sense of pride that you guys are backing us, because we're backing you.
This month, for Mission New Mexico, go to KNKT and Star 88 Facebook pages and let us know what you're doing to support local law enforcement.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We have Jerry Bachicha. She is the program manager for the new violence intervention program, and her team, Angel Garcia, Tanya Covington, and Commander Luke Langwit, in studio with us this afternoon. I want to go now to Tanya. Tanya, you are in charge of the Rapid Accountability Division, and that has a lot to do with teenagers that are drinking and using other substances, right?
Yes, that's one of our initial things that we're going to be working on. We hope to then also branch out and be able to work on some gun violence prevention. But for right now, what we're doing is trying to deal with kids who are sort of rounded up by the party patrol.
Now, do you have something similar to what Commander Luke said earlier? Do you do the custom notifications? Is that what you call them when you talk with teenagers?
No. Actually, what we do is we invite teenagers to be part of a restorative justice program where they come in and they're actually in a community circle with other community members, with their parents, with people who've been affected by underage drinking. And so we talk about that as a way of how do we rebuild the community and keep this from happening again.
Tanya, I want to share a quick story with you. When I was 16 years old, I was stopped on Wantabo and Candelaria by a police officer who had just witnessed me going to a drive-through window, which we thankfully don't have any of those anymore in Albuquerque. And I had just purchased an 8-pack of Mickey's Wide Mouth malt liquor. So the police officer stopped me, and he asked me to get out of my truck, set the liquor on the back tailgate of my truck, and then he made me pour it out in the northbound lane of Wantabo with everybody driving by watching me. Now, here's the best part. So after I got done with that, he said, I don't expect this to happen again, and he let me go. I'm thinking, this is no big deal. I'm off. I'm not having any problems. So about 5 o'clock that morning, I feel my dad nudging my bed. He said, your basketball coach at El Dorado is expecting you at the gym at 5:30 and you're not taking the car. I mean, we lived a good 20 minutes away from the high school. So I jumped on my bike, barely made it at 5:29. And my basketball coach made me run for the next 5 hours. So I want to say this. I appreciate the fact that I got a second chance. Because so many people today, it's almost the penalties are so harsh. A kid gets caught for drinking and their whole athletic career in high school can be totally destroyed. And so I don't know if you agree with it, but I get the sense that your program is all about restoring people, and that's what restorative justice is about. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We're all about giving them a second chance. You know, we were all kids at one time. We all made, you know, those kinds of stupid things. We shouldn't have the rest of our lives defined by that. And if we put a kid into the system, put them, you know, make them go to court, make them, you know, go to detention, then that's what we're doing. And so what we're trying to do is give them a second chance right up front and give them the opportunity to know what would happen to them, you know, if they did follow that path, but also to know that there's a community supporting them to change their direction.
Tanya, you have a background, Jerry was telling us, in mediation. Mm-hmm. So I take it that you're a peacemaker.
Yes.
How is that gift really playing into mm-hmm. your role?
Well, I try to use it in my everyday life, and especially when I'm working with young people, to think about the fact that so very often with young people, we kind of hold them accountable for things they haven't been taught. You know, and one of the things that we talk about a lot is, in schools, when somebody doesn't know how to read, you teach them how to read. But when someone doesn't know how to behave, you punish them. And it makes more sense to teach them how to behave. And so I try to approach things, you know, from that direction. So that, you know, yes, you did something dumb, and we're going to teach you how not to do that, how to do something, you know, instead.
Tanya, do you have some success getting parents to participate with you?
Yes, we do. I used to run a program through a private nonprofit. We would do restorative justice programs, and we would invite the parents to come in once or twice during the session. To be able to just talk to each other and get support. And we found that it was amazing. So many parents just needed that support, and they felt like they were alone and they were the only ones having problems with, you know, a wayward teenager. And once they got in a room with other people, it was like, oh, what a relief. And we've all done this, and we can all, you know, we can all get through it. So, yeah, it's really, it's comforting for parents, and, you know, cause an awful lot of times, you know, parents don't raise their kids to be bad. And so when a kid goes off and does something, you know, that the parents didn't agree with, sometimes the parents are at a loss. It's like, you know, I didn't teach them that. So why did they do that? You know, and what do I do in the meantime? And we really talk to them about, you know, sometimes you just have to give kids alternatives.
Yeah. I know, Tanya, that you interface quite a bit with Angel Garcia, who's mm-hmm. in charge of your social services. And when you are interfacing with a teenager that may be involved in substance abuse or drinking, and you're having them be part of this, is it like a gathering?
A circle.
Mm-hmm. It's a circle?
Yes.
So when you bring people together like that, you're giving them alternatives. You're mm-hmm. helping them with other social services they may need. How do you interface with Angel?
Well, that's one of the ways that we do. Angel has a lot of resources and also a lot of background. It really helps young people to hear from somebody who's been on a path they may be going on and who can tell them, you know, what it looks like and what the downfalls were. That to me, is just so much more impactful than anything that I could say is, you know, here's somebody who lived the life and he's gonna talk to you about it. So.
Angel Garcia, you're in charge of the social services and coordinating with all the different agencies. I'm assuming the faith-based community and different ministries are involved as well. And if they're not, we're going to make sure that they are resources for you, because that's what we do at ABQ Connect. I mean, we have a lot of people.
Yes.
Like, for example, Feed New Mexico Kids and Holly Slade, they provide snack packs for police officers that are on patrol and make sure that some of these families have food on the weekends when they may not.
Yes.
We have agencies like the New Mexico Dream Center that's involved with the sex trafficking of minors. Mm-hmm. And I know they interface with you guys and help, you know, anytime a police officer runs across a situation like that. But Angel, you have a unique background. Would you share a little bit about that with us?
Yes. So I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And so I grew up in South Central Los Angeles. Parents got divorced at an early age. My mother had to put herself in school. And after that, she started working. So I'd go outside and, of course, nothing but gang members everywhere. So I became a gang member myself. And from 12 to 33 years old, I was just stuck in that cycle of crime and in and out of jail. And until one day I was sitting in a prison cell and I was just tired of it. After a conversation with my mother, fortunately I had an uncle who lived here in New Mexico, and he allowed me to move out here to try to get my life back together. The only condition he gave me was that I had to enroll in college. So I enrolled at CNM, and the more I got involved, the better I felt as a person, and the more I started healing myself. So I started doing more community service. I became president of student government, and I was involved in various committees. And to my surprise, one day I get an email from the mayor's office asking me if I wanted to interview for a position. And I interviewed, and here I am.
Here you are. Well, tell us a little bit about how you coordinate social services for people that you are doing custom notifications with, and some of these groups that you're working with youth.
Yeah, no problem. So I actually work for Family and Community Services. I don't work for APD. So Family and Community Services already has a wide range of services that they provide to Albuquerque. So all I really had to do was learn the people they have contracts with and just introduce myself. And so what I really am, I'm a referral. When I talk to somebody, I ask them, what is it that I could help you with? And like Commander Langwit and Jerry have already mentioned, a lot of the times it'll be substance abuse. Sometimes it's lack of job training. So whatever it is that they specify to me, then I'll sit with them and we'll formulate a plan, and then I refer them to these programs that already exist in our community. And when I talk to them, I fully understand that, and this is the message I try to convey to them and what I'm trying to change in their minds. If you don't care about yourself, how are you going to care about not hurting somebody else? So I'm trying to address that. And it's really important for them to know. And Commander Langwit does a wonderful job at conveying this message as well from the APD point of view, that they do matter because they live in our community. So I try to address whatever trauma it was, you know, whether it be they come from a broken home, they didn't have the father figure, or the father figures that they did look up to were just bad influences, kind of like the ones I had. So I try to address that with them, and I tell them, and like Commander Langwood said, I connect with them because I know the pain they're going through, you know? And a lot of the times it's just because of the environment we grow up in. It normalizes in our brain. You know, we go outside, we hear gunshots. We go outside, we see people doing drugs. For a little kid growing up in that environment, he's going to grow up thinking, oh, well, that's life. That's normal. And it's a lot easier for someone like that to fall into those actions. And that's something that I'm trying to make them see, that, you know what, we're doing this to ourselves because we don't know any better, kind of like Tanya said. So I'm trying to teach them self-care, self-love. And I'm a big promoter of education too, because I'm 36 years old, and in May I just received my first college degree. I got my associate's degree, and I'm working on my bachelor's now at UNM. And all these little accomplishments, they made me feel great about myself. So if I could start helping them get little tiny wins, so they can start feeling better about themselves, then I feel that we're gonna make a lot of headway here in this community.
I don't know how you feel about such things, but I'm going to go ahead and say it just because I feel like I should. You are describing what I would say is you are now seeing yourself the way God sees you, and he is using you to help other people, and that's a major blessing to all of us. And I want to remind our listeners that we have I'm going to call it Team Violence Intervention Program, the new program with the Albuquerque Police Department. Jerry Bachicha is the program manager. Angel Garcia is the Violence Intervention Program Social Services Director. Tanya Covington runs the Rapid Accountability Division. And Commander Luke Langwit, he helps with the Crimes Reduction Division. Tanya, I want to switch to you now and ask you about when you have a young person who is, say, arrested for I don't know, maybe an initial arrest for substance abuse. There's not a lot of punishment there. Usually there's some things that judges do to try to help people. And if you don't do something for so many days, that's, you know, expunged from your record. Are you able to know who these individuals are and to reach out to them so that they don't fall back into that same type of habit?
One of the things that we do is, first of all, we try to get them before they've been arrested. Mm. And that's one of the very innovative things that the police department is trying to do right now, is identify these kids by finding them when they're just out partying, and get them into a program so they don't have to be arrested. If, you know, we are expanding our program, of course, it's just starting. We figure we probably will be eventually working with kids who already have been arrested. And again, like you said, our main thing is to try and get them into programs and get them connected with people in the community who can talk to them and who can help advise them and let them know that there's other, you know, that there's just alternatives. There's other ways. So often kids go down a path that isn't good to them because they don't see anything else. One of the things that we want to do is really get them involved in community so that the community can say to them, look, we think you're valuable also. And so we want you to be a good citizen. We want you to be a good community member. So let us help you with that.
Fantastic. We're talking this afternoon on ABQ Connect about the Violence Intervention Program. It's a new program for the Albuquerque Police Department, incorporating a whole bunch of very talented individuals that we've had a chance to visit with this afternoon. We have more coming up. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is Carrie Jobe, and here's a special word from an incredible pastor in my life, Pastor Robert Morris.
Jesus can do more than just save you for heaven. He can help you now. So my uncle was a veteran. He came home messed up. Horrible memories. He was hurt on the inside. Then he got saved. What I didn't know, though, was that when he got saved in a church that only preaches salvation. They didn't say he could set you free. So the memories, the nightmares, he'd wake up in the middle of the night. He told his wife, I don't know what to do. She said, maybe you should go talk with the pastor. He came home from meeting with the pastor. His wife said, what did the pastor say? He told me, Jesus can't help me. I want you to know that there's a real Jesus, and that Jesus can save you and heal your heart and set you free and anoint you with the Holy Spirit.
For more worship in the Word, visit PastorRobert.com.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
Our hearts are able to steer us. Our hearts are able to trick us. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our spirits. We have to guard our devotion. We have to choose to do the hard things, to watch after ourselves, to be checking in with ourselves, to be asking the question, hey, time's passing. How am I doing? Am I getting better? Am I staying the same? Am I coasting? Am I fighting? Am I advancing? Am I becoming a kinder husband? Am I becoming a better father? Am I becoming a more patient manager? Your heart's tricky. Your heart will talk you into doing things you shouldn't do. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things will all deceive us. We have to guard ourselves. We have to keep ourselves. You can't just be cruising through life, doing what you feel and going along with what's easy.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLusco.com.
listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back in studio this afternoon with Jerry Bachicha, Angel Garcia, Tanya Covington, and Commander Luke Langwit. They are all with the Violence Intervention Program with various roles. Tanya Covington, you are in charge of the RAD program, if I use the acronym correctly. Yes. That's the Rapid Accountability Division.
Diversion, actually.
Oh, diversion.
Diversion.
Okay, I'm glad to know that. And you've explained what your role is and how that works. What I want to ask you now is, regardless of how you feel in terms of your own personal faith, does it encourage you to know that the Christian community, the faith community, is behind you and praying for you? We have organizations that have been frequent guests of ABQ Connect, like New Mexico Praise, and they are praying 24/7 for your efforts and those of Chief Mike Geyer and all the initiatives that he's taking place. Does that give you a sense of comfort?
Absolutely. To me, it's very encouraging. The work that we do, especially through our program, is very much involved in the community. So to know that we have the community support, that's, to me, is just the most amazing thing in the world. I always say that in doing restorative justice, we're trying to do conflict resolution that really centers on healing. So yes, having people who are interested in that and who are willing to get involved, you know, and to be community supports, we couldn't ask for anything better than that.
Well, I hope this is not our last interview.
Mm-hmm.
When you all have something you want to communicate to the public, we hope you'll use ABQ Connect as a place to do that, one of many, I hope. Angel, let me ask you the same question. Right now, even as we're talking, there are people praying for your efforts and what you're doing on behalf of the Albuquerque Police Department and the citizens of Albuquerque. How do you feel about that?
Kind of like Tanya said, it makes me feel good because I have to be honest with you. During my whole time in Los Angeles, there was a certain disconnect or a drift apart between me and God. Because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I'm doing all of this, and then I go to jail, and I want to ask him for something now. I didn't want to be that person. So there was a certain disconnect. And now that I've been here going on 3 years now, I've been growing as a person. I've been trying to transform well, pretty much my life, but I'm learning new things now. Like, I'll watch a commercial and all of a sudden I start tearing up, you know, because it was a sweet sentiment. So I'm learning how to recognize all these emotions in myself, and I'm trying to heal my soul as well. So as I'm learning how to do all of that, as I learn how to pray in my own way, it just makes me feel good that there's actually people out there already praying for me. So I love that sentiment.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect, the Violence Intervention Program. We are going to watch and pray and support you any way we can. We know that there have been isolated incidents that are just terrible and tragic, but we happen to believe that the majority of police officers in this country are literally putting their lives on the line for us. You all are doing some wonderful work to support the police officers in the community, and we pray that it just works out exactly the way you planned. Thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you for having us.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.